There was a silence. Ryan looked over at JB, who shrugged, holding up the scattergun to indicate his suspicion that something was wrong.
You there, brother? John Dix?
There was no point in maintaining silence. If Jennison knew, then the only possible hope was for them to try to close him down quickly, if it wasn't already too late for that.
What is it, Jim?
Figure you and that one-eyed motherfucker got Seidler and the others. Well, I got me the little lady here. Got the blade about one breath away from opening her throat.
We got most of what we came for. Let Ellie go and we'll let you walk away free, Jennison.
Sounds like the sort of deal a man tries for when he's holding a pair, when he knows the man across the table's got at least three of a kind. Only a matter of time before these ragged, lame-brained sec bastards realize you picked out their beloved leader. Then goodbye will be all she wrote for you, my brother, everyone.
Half-brother. Your mother fucked my father once, long years ago. The night he made you, his mind was someplace else.
Same old JB. I'd heard you was dead, brother. Somewhere up in the darks, a couple of years ago. Along with that sheepfucker, the traitor.
Ryan couldn't see a play. If there was a chance to get Jennison, even if it meant Ellie buying the farm, he'd have taken it. Tough, but that was the way it was. But it was a Colorado standoff, with the dice favoring Jennison.
Then I heard Trader might still be alive. Figured that could mean my older brother was also up and walking.
You heard right.
Nelson sent you. His stinking, shitting, loudmouth little prick of a son. Bastard had it all coming.
Doesn't matter who's right or wrong, Jennison.
Just who's left behind, brother.
The killer was playing for time against Ryan and JB. And he was winning.
One Eye, Ryan Carter. There's another name I heard plenty around the Deathlands. Where there's shit, there's Carter.
The voice was coming closer. Ryan was sure of it. And his keen hearing had caught the faint sound of heels dragging on the dusty stone. Jennison was hauling Ellie with him, keeping her quiet with the threat of the knife at her neck. The options had narrowed down to one. Open fire into the blackness with a Sig Sauer. A few of the 15 rounds might hit Jennison, but it definitely meant Ellie's death, one way or the other. As Ryan tightened his finger on the trigger of the blaster, he heard the dull sound of wood striking against bone.
Ah! I thought that bastard had seen through our trick, so I followed him here.
He's laid Jennison out cold. Quick, before he comes to!
JB moved in.
Got a lump on the side of his skull the size of a vulture's egg, but he's breathing.
Knuckles, you did great.
Ryan glanced out into the alley, but there was nobody in sight.
Get back with Ellie. Wrap the play up, and then come out here as fast as you can, just like we all planned it.
Will we be all right?
Sure. It's all downhill from here.
Diego Capistrano sat on the buckboard seat of the wag, with Knuckles beside him, managing the two-horse team. Ellie was in the back, under the hastily drawn canvas hood, in charge of the captured weapons and the bound prisoners. Ryan had given her a length of 2x4 and told her not to hesitate to use it.
Any of them look like they're coming around, you whack them behind the ear.
Be a pleasure, especially that son of a bitch, Jennison. Oh, sorry, John, forgot he was your half-brother.
Yeah, but son of a bitch is right. My father, not my mother.
Ryan led the way on his amiable, sure-footed skewbald. Doc came second on the towering black stallion, his lama stuck in his belt, his head bowed against the cold wind. The wag was in the middle of the group, with a pack horse tethered to the tail. Michael complained endlessly on the ridge-backed burro.
Why couldn't you have stolen me a real horse, JB? I just started to get my blisters healed, and now I'll have them all over again.
JB was rearguard on his trim little bay mare, the Uzi held loosely in his right hand, constantly turning around to look behind them for any sign of pursuers. They'd made their getaway from the multiplex in excellent time. The play had finished to riotous applause, and nobody there had seemed to be taking all that much notice of the missing Baron and his 5 hired killers. But Ryan knew that it was only a matter of time before someone started to wonder where the 6 people had gone. They'd find there was a horse missing from the stable, and that the Snow Palace had suddenly lost 7 of its paying guests. Now they were approaching the barrier across the one narrow blacktop running in and out of the Bill of Yuma. The bright moon was still riding high above the Rockies all around them, but it was now thinly veiled behind ragged shreds of cloud, like the cloak of a beggar. It was just a few minutes short of 10 o'clock, but Ryan didn't expect the guards to be particularly alert. Only one of them was out in the open, with two more standing in the doorway of the little hut. The Sec man held a carbine in his hands, pointing at the ground, showing he didn't anticipate any trouble. Like the other details of their plan, Ryan and JB were ready for more or less anything that might happen.
Hey there!
On the way into Yuma, Ryan had spotted a thin pair of wires running from the roof of the hut toward the Ville. Obviously some kind of talkie, probably linked to the multiplex.
Yo, Monsignor Diego Capistrano and his theater company, leaving the Ville.
Ryan reined in the horse, holding up a hand to stop the rig behind him.
Saw your play last night. You got the little lady on board there?
Ellie poked her head between the shoulders of Knuckles and Diego, blowing the man a kiss.
I am here, and I remember seeing you in the audience. Thank you for your applause.
We was there, too.
And my love to you as well. I'll maybe see you all when we next play Yuma. That would be thrilling.
All three Sec men stared up at her, as though she were a goddess paying a fleeting visit to Earth.
Could you, half the barrier, and we'll be on our way?
Baron give you clearance?
Of course.
How come we haven't been told?
Ryan felt the faint prickle of impending action, careful not to move his hand toward the butt of the blaster. Not yet.
Dear Wizard was in the front row tonight. He so enjoyed it. Positively ordered us to return in a month or so to perform a different play for him.
The guard at the barrier nodded and tipped it up, the counterbalanced end rising in a gentle arc.
Sure, lady. There you go.
Ryan waved the small convoy onward.
Much obliged. Let's move. Not too fast.
Ryan stood in the stirrups and stared back toward the distant lights of the Pestholeville. There was no sign of any pursuit. The trio of Sec men had retreated into their hut, and the barrier was down again across the blacktop. The wind had dropped to nothing, and the night was infinitely still and quiet. They had traveled at least a mile down the winding highway when Ryan's keen hearing caught the faint sound of a bell, a tinny noise that rang for about 10 seconds before it stopped.
Alarm message to the Sec men. Cat's been let out of the bag. Let's go!
Like many frontier villes, Yuma hadn't contained many gas wags. In fact, Ryan had only seen a couple. One was a flatbed truck with the rear wheels missing, the other a rusting old auto wag located at the rear of the livery stable. He'd taken the extra precaution of ripping out a handful of wires from its engine just in case. If they could get a decent start, Ryan reckoned that they should have a fair chance of holding off any pursuers on horseback. That was one of the reasons that he doubled up the team for the rig. Ryan figured that the biggest plus they had on their side was that the Ville would be in some chaos. And from what he'd seen of other Villes when a Baron disappeared or was killed, there wasn't always that enthusiastic a movement to try to rescue or replace him. Just before midnight, the sky clouded and the temperature dropped. A few flurries of fresh snow began to sprinkle the trail south. Since Ryan had the rifle, he and JB changed roles. The armorer took up point, leading the way carefully through the dark woods, along the valleys, climbing up the flanks of the mountain. And Ryan deliberately fell behind, pausing at every vantage point, checking for any sign of pursuit from Yuma. It was just after 1 a.m. when Ryan spotted horsemen, coming along the trail in a group. He counted 8 of them. The one-eyed man swung out of the saddle and looped the horse's bridle around the broken branch of a stunted alder. Pressing the smooth walnut stock of the SSG-70 Steyr bolt-action rifle against his shoulder, he quickly levered a 7.62mm round into the breech and set his right eye to the starlight nightscope, using the laser image enhancer to focus on the Sec men across the valley. They were about 600 yards away. Ryan waited. He'd waved Doc on to make sure the rig kept moving steadily ahead. As far as Ryan knew, there wasn't any way for the pursuing Sec men to loop around and get ahead of them. But he wasn't about to take that chance. 400 yards. The night scope and the image enhancer brought the posse of Seidler's men much closer. At 300 yards, Ryan could have guaranteed to put down at least a couple of the men or their horses, but he didn't fire. 150 yards. Ryan waited, steadying his breathing, slowing his heartbeat. The nearest horseman was now within 100 paces of where he stood, riding at a steady pace, halfway between a walk and a canter.
Like fish in a barrel.
The one-eyed man felt the jolt run up his arm to his shoulder. The spent round ejected, and Ryan's eye went back to the targets. He didn't bother to check what had happened to the first man he fired at, knowing with absolute certainty that he was already down and done with a high-velocity bullet through his head. The second round picked off the Sekhmen at the back of the group, his horse rearing and whinnying in terror at the noise and the hot smell of spilled blood. As Ryan headed